lipstick kids, but we didn't want to do that.
Thank you. Well, Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout, or spreading the Christmas joy throughout the week. Anyone who doesn't know me, my name is the Reverend Jacob Nault, and I'm the pastor here, and we're so excited to have you with us for this Christmas Eve service. We have multiple modes of following the worship order. Everything you need will be on the screen, but if you're one of those people who like to follow a paper bulletin, there are some in the back. And please make sure you got a candle if you did not already. If you are joining us on Zoom, you can scan the QR code that is on our Facebook page with your phone so that you can follow along with the bulletin. And then if you're on Zoom, of course, find a candle in your house somewhere that you can light at the appropriate time. Poinsettia dedications are in the bulletin, and they'll be on the screen at some point as well. And we also thank Dave Kotwitz, who donated the flowers in the back in memory of his wife, Debbie. So we're really grateful for all of the people who make this service what it is. So we are about to share the peace of Christ with one another. For those of you who haven't been to this church before, there are all sorts of ways that we can share the peace of Christ. We can handshake, we can fist bump, we can hug, and we can wave. And if you wave, we won't touch you. We know that this is a time of joy and also a time of germs. So we'll do the best we can. So friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the call to worship. In the darkness, stars shine. In the silence, angels approach. Your word is made flesh, and we come in humble awe.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Living God, Christ's mystery, Holy Spirit, we give you thanks for this holy sensing of your presence. As we take in the light you offer, may we be a reflection of that light, expanding the sacred being of this place into the sacred beings of all things. The opening hymn is number 188, Angels We Have Heard on High, and we will be singing all the verses.
Oh, On this Christmas Eve, we are gathered as God's people to celebrate again what Christ's coming means to the world. We join with Christians all over the world who are celebrating today. From Isaiah 9:6, a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift who makes all these other gifts possible. So we light the Christ candle now as we think about what Christ's coming means to each one of us.
And if you would all please pray with me. We thank you, God, for your gift of Jesus Christ to the entire world. We thank you that Christ's coming makes hope, peace, love, and joy possible for every person in every nation. Encourage us to do our part to bring goodwill and peace to our families, our churches, our neighborhoods, and the entire world. Now let your Spirit put us in touch with you, the living God, through the words and music that we will hear today and this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
service of lessons and carols, which will have a lesson followed by a carol, followed by a lesson, and so on. But before we do that, let's pray. Please join me in the unison prayer for illumination. O God, turn out the lights in our busy lives, that in the darkness your stars may shine. Silence the chatter of our minds, that we may hear the angels sing. Bring us to our knees, that we may see the Holy Child. Make our hearts open mangers for your Christ to be born in us. You who are always with us, come to us again. Make your word flesh in us. Amen. You may also, during the hymns, you may stand up, or you may remain seated for the entirety of that. Whatever is most accessible for you.
The first lesson tonight is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2, 6, and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in a pitch dark land, light has dawned. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be vast authority and endless peace for David's throne and for his kingdom, establishing and sustaining it with justice and righteousness now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of heavenly forces will do this.
Second lesson is taken from Luke 1, 26 through 35 and verse 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this could be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Our third lesson. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled on the tax list. This first enrollment occurred when Sirius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled. Since Joseph belonged to David's house and the David's family line, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city called Bethlehem. It was in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was promised him in marriage, and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, wrapped him in snugly, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the guest room.
Thank you. This is the fourth lesson from Luke 2, chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. Now in that same way, the number of shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a witness from a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger.
Jesus, joy of the highest heaven, born as a little baby under a wondrous star.
Like us, crying, he takes us first death, held by his mother helpless, close to her beating heart.
Jesus,
Jesus, in a lowly manger,
from Matthew 2, 1 through 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me, so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went, and look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Thank you.
sixth lesson is from John 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. A man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself was not the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light, but the world did not recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him, but those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood, nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Our seventh and final lesson for tonight is from Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
For the word of God in Scripture and the word of God among us, thanks be to God. Our media piece was written by a seminary friend of mine named the Reverend Tim Powers Reed, and a bunch of our friends got together and put this together. This is Love Breaks Open the Night.
Love Breaks Open the Night.
Written by Tim Powers Reed.
Music by Jacob Nault.
Presented by Tim Powers Reed, Jacob Nault, Michelle Taridia, and John Meyer.
Listen.
Something is shifting.
The night is holding its breath the way we do
when we are standing on the edge
of something we cannot name yet,
but desperately need.
Listen deeper.
To the quiet quake beneath your ribs.
The one that whispers maybe hope is stubborn enough
to keep trying.
One more time.
Not for perfection.
Not for pomp.
But for a love brave enough to be born human.
To show up without an entourage.
To arrive without armor. On this night, God does not arrive polished. God arrives real, raw even.
Wrapped in sweat. Wrapped in courage.
Wrapped in the kind of holiness that smells like skin and risk and borrowed hay.
Held by the trembling yes of a young woman who dared to believe the world could still change.
Who dared to believe her own body could be a sanctuary.
When everyone around her wanted proof instead of faith.
Slow the breath, feel the weight of it, feel how the air thickens when heaven leans close.
This is the moment when heaven draws near.
The holy choosing proximity over power, choosing fingerprints and fatigue.
choosing to learn the language of our longings from the inside.
Love is making its way through darkness, through fear, through every whispered verdict that said, nothing good can come from here. Through every family story that taught you to shrink.
Through every doctrine that tried to press you into a shape God never intended.
But tonight, right here,
in a stable that smells like survival and second chances, the divine pushes through the ache of the world
and takes its first breath, teaching us that even God is willing to be fragile if it means drawing close.
Hear it in your spirit.
That soft cry that cracks the night open.
That heartbeat that dares to say,
I am not afraid of your humanity.
Your scars, your unfinished healing.
Your questions that keep you up at night.
This is not a silent night. It is a laboring night. A holy, chaotic, sacred, sweaty, midwife-needed night. For love refuses to stay distant. Refuses to stay safe.
Refuses to wait for us, to have our lives together. Refuses to be impressed by our curated versions of ourselves.
Love comes now. Love comes anyway.
Love comes knowing exactly who we are. Messy, holy, whole, capable of breaking and mending in the same hour.
And if you are tired, if you are grieving, if you are holding your life together with nothing but hope and muscle memory, and a prayer you barely remember how to pray, hear the truth.
You are still a manger, wide enough for God to rest in.
Wide enough for love to take shape.
Even if you are splintered, even if you are unworthy,
even if you feel like the world forgot your name,
you are still a place where miracles learn to breathe, where light warms its hands before stepping into the world.
So steady yourself.
Shake up the shame somewhere else draped over you.
Let wonder rise from whatever is left of you, even if it rises slow, even if it rises like smoke instead of fire.
For tonight, love is born.
Not above us, but among us.
And in us. And through us.
Breaking open the night so light can finally find its way home.
And find its way into you.
Again. And again.
And again.
Before I pray and preach, I just want to say again thank you to all of the people who made this service possible. Thank you to our staff. Thank you to our diaconate. Thank you to our choir. Thank you to my mom and dad and sister for joining the choir this evening. Thank you to all of our readers. Every voice and every part make this an even more beautiful occasion. So, my friends, will you pray with me? God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So when I was a kid and when we were preparing for Christmas, My mom found the elf on the shelf to be too much work. But she would say something similar. Remember, Santa's watching. That probably meant I shouldn't steal my sister's last cookie or keep tickling her even after she said, please stop. The idea of getting coal in my stocking was something that I was warned about, but I don't think it ever happened. Did it ever happen to any of you? Did anybody here get coal in their stocking? Yeah? So most people know, right, that if you get coal in your Christmas stocking, it means that you've probably behaved badly enough that Santa thought that you didn't deserve presents that year. I don't know if I believe that Santa is that vindictive, or I don't know if I believe that Santa is not full of grace, even when we don't deserve it. But even just the thought wasn't enough to deter me from being a bit of an overbearing big brother, if only for about 5 minutes. But as I was thinking about our last scripture for the evening, I thought about how sometimes the language shifts, but the motivation stays the same. This idea that if we do good things, good comes back to us. And when we don't do good things don't come back to us. People understand, at least on a selfish level, that we want to be understood as good by the people around us. We want people to like us, right? But I think we've seen enough of society to know that not every person in this world has the goodwill to do good things for other people. Shocker. I think that Jesus knows this pain all too well. In the beginning of the book of John, which Linda read for us, John's gospel tells us that the light came to his own people and they didn't welcome him. They didn't recognize him for who he was. The light of the world. Sometimes I wonder if people of biblical times couldn't fathom this idea of something so incredibly good coming to them, even if they didn't earn it. There are so many people in Jesus' ministry that feel themselves unworthy to receive the love and grace of Jesus Christ because they know they've done terrible things. And there are equally plenty of people who know they've done terrible things and ask for his love and forgiveness anyway. This Christmas Eve, I'd like to reflect on the point that Jesus comes to us despite anything we might have done. If you decide you need to fall asleep, here is the message in two sentences. Jesus does not come as a reward for good behavior. Instead, Jesus comes even if you get coal in your stocking this Christmas. This Titus passage is not necessarily a common passage in most of our lessons and carols observances, but it carries a truly wonderful and important message. Our passage from Titus chapter 3, likely written by somebody using Paul's name and persona, but probably not Paul himself, starts by saying that God saved us not because of any works of righteousness we had done, but according to God's mercy. I know there have been plenty of times that that I've fallen short of who God wants me to be, and it's doing way worse than stealing my sister's last cookie. But and I know that there have been plenty of examples in society of other people who have done bad things and done things in that sort of would go against God's will. You know, Ebenezer Scrooge gets visited by ghosts. The Grinch has to have his heart enlarged for him to understand what's going on. And even Santa Claus himself doesn't understand the contributions that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer can make to him in the midst of a snowstorm. But what I love about this passage is that God shows God's loving kindness and mercy through Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus challenges us to be as good as we can be and is watching us. Just like my mom said, Santa is watching. Jesus is watching us too. But Jesus abounds in grace and reminds us that we are loved and lovable. Jesus comes to us even when we don't think we deserve his love. And even when other people try to tell us that his love isn't applicable to us. Instead, the Word becomes flesh and makes its home in us. God comes into our hearts and reminds us that providing things like adequate health care, food for the hungry, or protection to all of those whom our society oppresses is exactly what Jesus would do. So, on a simplistic level, Jesus is kind of like Santa Claus in the fact that he gives us gifts that we could never repay. But of course, it's far more than that. Jesus comes to utterly dismantle the systems that tell us that certain other people shouldn't get what we get. We as a society are really good at putting people in boxes, basing our understandings of people's worth over how hard we think they work or how much money they have or what they look like or who they love or other things they can't even control. And yet, in spite of all of that, Jesus comes to us with love. Whether or not other people think we deserve it, and whether or not we think we deserve it. Jesus comes to us in spite of the labels that we put on ourselves, and in spite of the reasons that Jesus probably shouldn't come. The author of Titus says that this Spirit was poured out richly through Jesus Christ, that we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And there's a lot of baptism in imagery in this passage, too, meaning that we are bathed, drenched, right, in the goodness and loving kindness of God, regardless of what society has told us about our worth. An eternal life of goodness and love is one of the best gifts we could receive. And that's why so many Christians focus on sharing the good news with somebody else and telling other people that they should believe in it too, right? Evangelism. But the reality is that sometimes we don't always get that right, and sometimes we get it very, very wrong. Some Christians we know have used fear to bring people to Jesus. Basically using our belief in God as fire insurance. If you don't want to burn in hell, it's not too late, they say. But the writer of Titus gives us a different message. Instead of believing in God like fire insurance, like having one of those prepared hero fire blankets, we are cleansed by the water of rebirth and renewal. We always have a chance to start again. We don't have to face punishment if we're not sufficiently good. We can always start again because of the gift that Christ gives us. So what are we supposed to do with that this Christmas? For starters, in this capitalistic society, so often that we are told that we have to keep as much as we have for ourselves. Billionaires are praised for their ingenuity, and others are praised for building success all by themselves. And if I'm honest, that probably makes most of us squirm, myself included. But Jesus would say that's a good thing. That's probably why people like Herod were so afraid of Jesus, because all Herod knows is using his power to enrich himself and his closest friends, while people like the rest of us were destitute, doing as much as we could to survive, even if it wasn't enough. But just because that happened in biblical times doesn't mean that it's right and doesn't mean we need to repeat it. Friends, how did we ever get to a point that we started judging each other based on what we thought they deserved? How did we ever get to a point that the love of God was treated like something you only received when you did the right things and acted the right way? I don't think that we could conceive of a possibility that Jesus doesn't care about any of that. But my friends, that is what his birth and his life and his ministry were all about. Jesus, God with us, comes to us again, whether we deserve it or not, whether we've done the right things or not, and even if we've gotten coal for Christmas for all of the Christmases of our entire lives. Because we have a chance to start again with every reminder of the birth of Christ. We have a chance to remind ourselves once again that Jesus was a champion for the lonely and the marginalized and those who always finished last. Truly following Jesus demands that we do the same. So friends, as your Christmas joy radiates in your spirit this night, what will you bring in your heart to share the love of God with somebody else? Not to preach to them, not to offer them a fire insurance policy, but to remind them that God loves them and God champions them and God knows their name. One of the ways that our church has enjoyed doing that is partnering with organizations like REACH or St. Catherine Drexel or the Church Health Services, not just by writing checks, but by being present, showing the love of God by offering our care and our commitment to justice. And maybe even simpler, maybe your witness of love and hope will empower somebody to come back to church after years of being told that they don't belong or they're not worthy of God's love and grace. As our media piece written by my friend Tim reminds us, even you are a manger wide enough for God to rest in. So friends, this is the truth. Jesus comes again. Jesus comes anyway, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been told. May you go this night with joy and gratitude in your hearts, ready to spread the love of God that you have received so abundantly. This world is weary and worn and in need. And it is your light that will make it better. And for all of that, I say, thanks be to God. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. As the ushers come around, you may share a gift in the offering plate. You may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, remember that your gift benefits not only the ministries of this local church, but also the ministries of this of the Church Universal. After the offering, there will be no doxology. We'll go right into the prayer of dedication. The offering will now be received. Please join me in the prayer of dedication. Gracious God, we thank you that you have given yourself to us. You come to dwell with us, within us, and among us. By your presence with us, grant us your peace. Send us into the world to bring good news to the poor, to set the captives free, and to proclaim your grace. Send us in power, in the blessing and the company of your Son, the beloved Jesus Christ,
who is with us
now and forever. Amen. We are about to sing Silent Night, so here's how it's going to work. Sue is going to play a full verse of Silent Night to allow people a little bit more time to get their candles lit. And the way to light a candle safely is, for traditional candles, the unlit candle takes its light from the lit candle. So once you light your candle, hold still, and then your neighbor will take light from you. And during the last verse, you're invited to raise your candle in recognition that Christ is the light of the world. And also, we'll be singing four verses of Silent Night. There are only three in your hymnal, but pastoral privilege means I can add another one that is in other hymnals, but not this one. So we're doing four verses of Silent Night, and then we are immediately going into Joy to the World, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
benediction. This is a poem called The Work of Christmas by the poet Howard Thurman. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, to make music in the heart. Go in hope, peace, love, and joy to spread the beauty of Christmas. And now, may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and Merry Christmas!